What separates a bestseller from a forgotten manuscript? It's not just beautiful prose or brilliant ideas, it's structure. In Superstructure, James Scott Bell reveals the architectural framework that allows great stories to captivate readers from page one. Structure isn't the enemy of creativity, it's the translator that transforms your vision into something readers can connect with emotionally. Like the steel beams supporting a skyscraper, proper story structure lets your creative vision soar without collapsing. When readers abandon books within pages if they fail to engage, mastering these structural principles offers a proven path to creating stories that grip readers and don't let go until the final page. Contrary to what many believe, structure doesn't constrain creativity, it liberates it. Think of structure as translation software for your imagination, converting the story in your heart into something readers can emotionally connect with. Without it, even gorgeous writing fails to engage, as happened with Dow Mossman's beautifully written but commercially unsuccessful The Stones of Summer. Structure works because it's been tested over centuries of storytelling. You wouldn't want a doctor experimenting with random ingredients instead of proven medicine, right? Similarly, readers have certain expectations about how stories unfold because these patterns satisfy deep psychological needs. The three-act structure isn't some arbitrary rule. We're naturally wired to receive stories this way. Our lives follow this pattern: childhood, Act 1, adulthood, Act 2, and our sunset years, Act 3. Even at work, we identify problems, analyze solutions, and implement them. There's something fundamental about three acts that resonates with how we experience life. Every compelling novel centers on a character confronting death. Bell identifies three types: physical death, the backbone of thrillers; professional death, career at stake; and psychological death, internal battles where failure means dying inside. Without life or death stakes, reader interest wanes. One death stake should dominate your novel, though multiple types can coexist. Knowing your primary death stakes provides direction when you lose your way. For brainstorming, consider the white-hot document, writing freely, scene cards, vivid scenes on index cards, or an elevator pitch, three-sentence summary. The lock system focuses on lead, bonding readers with protagonist; objective, fighting against death; confrontation, opposing forces; and knockout ending. Bell's superstructure provides signposts for your writing journey. Using E.L. Doctorow's metaphor of writing being like driving at night with headlights, Bell adds that knowing the next signpost prevents you from driving off a cliff. When stuck, consult superstructure to determine what scene comes next. The fictional scene is the way the story happens. It is also the way the reader experiences the novel, writes William Sloan. Scenes are fiction's building blocks and require structure to create meaningful conflict. Each scene needs a clear objective from the POV character's perspective. The character must be trying to accomplish something, questioning a witness, forgetting pain, or escaping assassins. Even in solitary scenes, readers must understand what the character wants. Opposition creates the essential tension, something standing between the character and their objective. This can be outer, another character; inner, psychological; social, groups invested in status quo; or environmental, circumstances, nature. Writers can also employ time constraints for urgency. Every scene must conclude in one of three ways: well, not so well, or terribly. In fiction, worse endings often work better, as readers engage when worried about characters they care about. While occasional positive outcomes provide breathing space, use these moments to foreshadow more trouble ahead. Structure doesn't create bloodless writing. That's the fault of bloodless writers. The solution is infusing structure with emotion. Bell approaches emotional structure like golf. See it, visualize the scene; feel it, absorb the emotion; trust it, write without overthinking; and fix it, revise later. Before writing, play the scene in your mind until you feel something genuine. Many writers use music to enhance emotion. Bell creates mood lists of movie soundtracks for different scene types. Write while maintaining that emotional connection. Capture emotional tangents in separate documents for valuable lines later. When uncertain, err on the side of intensity. Heat is better than tepid, and you can dial back during revision. During revision, analyze how effectively you've rendered emotions using 5 techniques: naming emotions for low-intensity moments, showing through action, physical reaction, internal thoughts, or dialogue. As scenes intensify, move beyond naming emotions to showing them. At your novel's midpoint lies the mirror moment, when your protagonist faces a disturbing truth: change or die. This moment reveals what your story is truly about. Mirror moments come in 2 forms: psychological reflection, who am I, what have I become? Or the survival question, I can't possibly win, I'm going to die. The first demands character growth, the second requires strengthening to survive. This moment acts as a searchlight illuminating both directions of your story. Outliners can brainstorm it early for organic unity across scenes. Pantsers should pause 5,000 to 10,000 words in, write this scene, and use it for direction. The most significant life changes occur during crisis. Enduring fiction follows this pattern: characters facing life-threatening challenges and transforming as a result. The mirror moment makes this transformation clear to both character and reader. 2 critical thresholds mark your protagonist's journey. The first doorway of no return prevents returning to their ordinary world. In Gone with the Wind, this is the Civil War's outbreak, forcing Scarlett into survival mode. This doorway should appear before the 1/5 mark to maintain momentum. The second doorway of no return makes the final battle inevitable, a major crisis or discovery that propels the action toward the climax, occurring with about 1/4 of the book remaining. Before the climax comes the lights-out moment, when all seems lost. In The Hunger Games, Cato has Peeta in a headlock as Katniss faces an impossible choice. Vogler calls this a death and rebirth beat, where the hero transforms. Every great ending culminates in a final battle, occurring inside or outside the main character. The outside battle involves physical forces, while the inside battle is psychological. A satisfying story is ultimately a quest for courage, either physical courage against overwhelming odds or moral courage to do what's right. Superstructure ensures your story connects with readers effectively. Think of structure as your story's skeleton. Without it, even beautiful prose collapses. When structure feels off, readers get distracted. When on, they experience pure story, like watching a film with invisible edits. Your job is filling this framework with your unique voice and style while keeping the structure invisible. Create memorable moments at key structural points, shocking inciting incidents, surprising turns, and satisfying climaxes. Readers love worrying about characters they care about. When structure works properly, readers won't notice it. They'll be too engrossed in your story. They'll reward you with purchases and, more importantly, remember your story long after finishing. Structure isn't a constraint, but a tool that amplifies your storytelling and ensures your message resonates.